Good morning, everyone. Can you all hear me this morning? Good. Welcome. David has just reminded me, so I'm going to say this because my brain's a bit like a sieve. If there is anybody who would like somebody to pray with them after the service, there are people with yellow lanyards on who will be down at the front here, and just come and find somebody and they will pray alongside you. So anyway, welcome to our service this morning. Welcome, family. Welcome to anybody who's online and joining us that way. Welcome to visitors. If you're here, then you are family. So we're just going to go with the flow this morning, see what God has got for us. The other notice I have, that I have to follow the right wording, given my husband has written it down. There will be a special church members meeting after the service today to finalise the change to a CIO. So we're going to remain in here for 5 minutes straight after the service. We're not going to lock the doors. We're not that harsh. But if you can stay for 5 minutes after the service, whether you're a member or not, just to get our church family business done, and then we'll be able to go through to the Crosslink for tea and coffee and biscuits afterwards. There's one more important notice I have this morning. Christina had a significant birthday yesterday. And Christina, you need to know this is all Charlie's doing, so feel free to deal with her afterwards. So I think, and Ivy's birthday too. Well, in that case, we can sing to Christina and Ivy. Andrew's very kindly agreed to play the piano for us. So,
happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Christina and Ivy. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, Andrew. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we are family. Thank you that we can celebrate the gift of each other and birthdays. Thank you for being interested enough in the detail of our lives, Lord, that little things are important to you as well as big things. And so, Father, we bring you this morning. We bring you all of our planning. We bring you where our hearts and heads are at. And we give them all to you this morning, that you would have your way with each one of us, that we would leave this building changed people for the better, a step closer to you. And Father God, if you have a challenge for us this morning, then I pray that we would be able to receive that and act on it. If you've got an encouragement for each of us this morning, Lord, I pray that we would receive that and that our faith levels would grow as a result. So Father God, have your way with us this morning. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. We're going to join in sung worship together. We're going to have three songs that flow one into the other. If you can stand, then please feel free to do so. If you want to sit, then that's absolutely fine. We're going to start with How Deep... Oh, excuse me, I'm getting really ahead of myself. I'm going to read a psalm first. Sorry, Andrew. Psalm 8 says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. So, thank you, Lord. Let's sing How Deep the Father's Love for Us.
To make a wretch his dream.
was laid here in the death of Christ.
Father God, we thank you that you are alive and active in our lives, Lord. Thank you that by your Holy Spirit you are here and you are moving in this place. Father God, we bring you an offering now of praise. Feel free to pray, to praise the Lord right where you are. Amen.
Father, we thank you for the freedom that we have to come along here this morning and gather together to worship you. We thank you for every single person gathered here this morning, young or old. And we thank you, Father, that you dearly love every single one of us.
Thank you.
Help us by your Holy Spirit to worship you worthily. And will you speak to us too, so we know when we go home that we have been in the presence of the living God. Amen.
Amen.
Children who are amongst us this morning, and thank you for the joy of Ivy knowing that she was 10 yesterday. What a lovely age to be, Lord. Pray that you'll bless her through her life. She was singing the hymns today as well, so thank you for all the children that we have. Thank you for Debbie, who gives up her Sunday mornings to go upstairs and be with them. And so, Lord, we ask a blessing on them especially today. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I have something a bit different this morning, and I want to do it before the children go out because this is for our whole family. In Psalm 107, verse 21, it says, "Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man." Thank you, Josie. "And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy." So, we're not doing karaoke this morning. I'm not expecting you to come up here and sing. But something new today is an empty jar. You don't need to know what was in there, but it's an empty jar and a bag of gems. They're not actually gems. They're actually beautiful glass pebbles. But this is something that Mark and I have experienced before in our previous church, and we were so blessed by it as a whole fellowship that we wanted to share it with you. And it's called the Gem Jar, and God's just put into my mind last week that that stands for God encourages me. I'm a visual learner, so I need to see things. I think the Israelites were probably visual learners because when God did a big thing for them, like took them through the Red Sea or took them through the Jordan, he asked them to build piles of stones, Ebenezers, because we are stupid and forgetful people, and we think in that moment, we'll never forget this. And then we get busy with our lives. Life might get a bit easier. And you know what? We forget. And that's why they had the piles of stones, because then they could remember what God had done, tell their children and encourage. And what do you think happened to their faith levels when they did that? They rose. So the reason that I think I'd like to do this is because this is a visual reminder that as we give testimony to what God has done in the week, we take a stone, we put it into the jar, and as we see this jar filling, we are prompted to think, look at all those things that God has done. Look at all the encouragements he's given. Look at all the answers to prayer he's given. So that we are then encouraged to ask God to speak to us or to act in our lives, because we should live our daily lives expecting God to meet us, not just here on a Sunday morning, but when we're doing the shopping, when we're cleaning. All those circumstances, God wants to meet us. And I think sometimes we just get a bit forgetful that God's actually wanting to do that. So I have an empty jar and a full bag of gems. I'm not expecting them all to go in this morning. But what I would really like to encourage you is that if God has spoken to you this week or given you an encouragement, if you're brave enough to come up here and tell the rest of your church family what it is, put a gem in the jar. If you're not mobile enough, I'll come to you. But I'm just encouraging you to build up the faith of the body. And this should be a regular thing. We should be falling over ourselves, actually, to be able to give testimony for what God has done. Wouldn't it be lovely if there was a queue? So, anybody brave enough to come and just share with us briefly something that God has done this week and put a gem in the jar? Oh. See, got a cue already. Thanks, Josie. It should be on. I did push the button. It is on.
It is on, sorry. On Monday morning, I received a phone call from the hospital, and it said, you can come and have another injection in the bottom of your spine. And it's on February the 24th. It's a couple of weeks away yet. But I was so thankful that I had this injection. And it's all part of the Lord, because David and I pray regularly that I will have pain relief. And so please remember me in a fortnight's time. I'll remember you. I remember all of you. And as I look out at you, there's a lot of us here today. All have a reason to be thankful. So please be thankful.
Thanks. Right, you get to pick the first gem, Josie. Just pop it in the jar. Thank you.
So last week, or this week that's just gone, I had the privilege of going to Newquay in Cornwall to be with other ministers from across the southwest. And we had the huge gift of studying over 3 days with the lady who wrote about slow wisdom. The slow wisdom that allows us to discern God's will in the church meeting. And the timing was just perfect from my point of view, because obviously that is what we will be doing as a family, both today and across the coming weeks, as we see how God wants to change and move this church forward. And I give thanks for that time with friends and the fellowship and the prayer and the worship, but also the time to restore. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks, Debbie.
Earlier on in the week, I was just buying a car for my wife, and even though it's a materialistic thing, I was just feeling quite anxious. I don't know why. I was just had to travel up north and buy it, so it's a responsibility on my shoulders for my wife, and I've just been beating myself up a little bit about not spreading the word and not basically being scared to spread the word or just things like that. So I thought, oh, I'm just, you know, no good like we do sometimes. So I prayed that the trip would be, path would be made straight, and it was so obvious that it was making all the paths straight. It was just, everything was just laid out before me. And I even said to myself, right, when I get in the car, I'm going to mention that I've been praying for this, just to try to spread the word with somebody. And as soon as I got in, it was already made very, very clear. He was with me, and, you know, quite basically putting his arm around me. And as soon as I got in the car, the man started speaking about God straight away. Anyway, so I was just like, oh, well, yeah, I've been praying too. So praise God for everything and making paths straight. And He's with you even when you're anxious or anything like that. So He's done it. He's always there.
Thank you. Right, I'm not sure. Shall I go? Shall I go to Sheila? I'll go to Sheila right here. Isn't this a lovely problem to have?
It is. Okay. Well, during the week, my daughter had, she was far away, and she had a very serious accident. And so she was taken to hospital and actually has done very well. And actually, there are other things going on in her life as well, so it all seems to have built up. And she recovered from the accident. She's still recovering, of course, but and it's always the head. I mean, that's always the way in our family. It's always the head that gets hit in some shape or form. And so I said to her, have you started praying? And she said to me, it's not always the thing you expect, is it? You're recovering, and someone says to you, have you started praying again? Right? And actually, she has started praying, and God has started opening doors and helping her. So from what could have been an exceptionally serious, serious problem, she is recovering. So that's a wonderful thing, and I thank God for that. Thank you.
Thanks, Diane. Isn't it encouraging? So encouraging.
Just want to praise the Lord for NHS, and because last week I couldn't stand up, I couldn't walk last weekend, and I was in a lot of pain with bursitis, and I thought, oh, I'm fed up with this, Lord, this is driving me bats. He hears our prayers, and that was a cry of prayer, and I'm fine.
Thank you, Lord.
I've had the wonderful injection and I'm absolutely fine. So praise the Lord for the NHS. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
I went to a funeral Tuesday. Unfortunately, it wasn't very near. It was in Darlington. It took me 8 hours to get there on the train. But I could even there feel that there was something not right. We are probably a bit more blessed. I'm sure you realize you are more blessed when there are more people. But my cousin's son said to me, oh, nowadays, all the churches round and about are closing. Because there aren't many people, particularly when it's out in the countryside where farms are. They were never very near then anyway. And I did say to him, but God's still there, you know? Even if there's only one or two, people need to come together. And also to realize and appreciate a group of people like here. You know, if you're somewhere where the numbers go down, but I realized and I said to him, but God's always with you. When Jesus was on the cross, he was on his own. And we might find we are like that, but God is always with us.
Well, I've had a difficult few years, really. And I've been reading the book of Job with Nikki and Pippa Gumbel, and I've found it a great encouragement, and it's helped me. God has spoken to me through that. So I'd like to thank the Lord for his encouragement.
Thank you, Grace. You're going to choose a stand to pop there. Thank you for sharing. Who am I giving this to? Charlie, you're in trouble, you know that, don't you? You wait till we've all gone.
I'm going to be a bit greedy, actually. I've got a couple of things. In total honesty, there's multiple things, you know. I'm not going to lie. I've had a very, very difficult week, difficult few weeks, but the Lord has been very faithful in many ways. But the two little things I just wanted to share. Obviously, it was Mum's big 5-0 yesterday.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah, I know. Sorting, my parents are split, so sorting all of that out kind of on my own and kind of orchestrating everything, you know, buying this, sorting that out. I don't know, I get overwhelmed about that sort of thing. And I prayed about it to the Lord, because I was like, will she like this? Will she like that? You know, and you just get really stressy about it. Well, I do anyway. But actually, it came together really well, and I'm really grateful to God for that. He's been giving me an opportunity, quite a long time coming, to speak to and potentially evangelize to a girl I went to college with, and I think the Lord is really opening some spiritual doors there. So her name's Ellie, so if we could hold her in prayer, that would be great.
We will do. Right, I'm right here, Charlie. I'm going to swap. Yeah. Right, you need to take two gems out of this jar, this bag. Have you got them?
Yeah.
Right, and the jar is right here, next to your hand. Thank you. Oh, Ivy.
I would like to thank God for encouraging me with my parents.
That's lovely. What a lovely thing. Thank you, Ivy.
Let's choose whatever colour you like. Thank you.
Oh, Julie.
Well, two things I'd like to pray for as well. And I'd like to thank God for the prayer that I had at Life Group on Thursday evening to do with a medical issue that I've got. Not been feeling too good, but a smile hides a lot of things. And also for the fact that on Friday after coffee, I went to the doctors and I waited rather a long time to see a doctor, but I actually got to see a doctor, and the receptionists were absolutely wonderful, and I don't go to a doctor unless I'm absolutely desperate. I can't remember when I last saw one. And the prayer on Thursday night was absolutely great. I've had prayer this morning, but it's an ongoing issue at the moment. But the Lord is so faithful, and the people around us are so faithful. If we ask, the prayer is there. And I shouldn't be amazed, but I am so grateful for the family that I have here and the people I can talk to that are interceders for God as well. And it's absolutely amazing. And the fact that I actually got to see a doctor was so wonderful, and he was an absolutely lovely doctor and listened to my issues. So thank you, God, for all your help in everything.
Thanks, Julie. Lovely. Oh, right, Ian, I'm coming. Thank you. Well, the plan for this morning's service has just gone out of the window, but isn't that great? Right, here's the mic.
Early this week, well, a couple of weeks ago, I have a device in my kitchen for holding cling film, aluminium foil and kitchen roll, and it broke, so I bought a new one. And of course, the screws are never in the right place, are they? So I put one screw in, and there was a jar holding the other end up. And this week, God sent Rod along to drill the tile and put another screw in, so I'm really pleased about that. Another thing is, Charlie and her mum came to see me this week for Charlie to bring me some information about getting an enabler to help me with daily things. So I appreciate that as well. So that's two things the Lord's done for me this week.
That's wonderful. Right, let me take the mic.
Two items.
Yep, there's the bag. Three. Grab two out of the bag. You got them? Three. All right, we're going for three then. Here we go. Lovely, thank you. Anybody else need me to come to them? I'm not running up to the balcony. You'll have to run down if you want to do this. That is just so lovely. Thank you, family. I'm hoping you feel more encouraged than you were 15 minutes ago, because I certainly am. And what a variety of ways that God has worked in people's lives, physical, emotional, spiritual. So thank you. Thank you for sharing, and thank you, Lord. We're going to take our offering now, which is still part of our thanksgiving and testimony. And as we do, feel free to let it pass you by. We've already brought an offering this morning. If you've come with a heart ready to worship God and it's been a bit of a sacrifice, you've brought an offering already without putting your hand in your pocket or your bank balance. But if you want to contribute in that way to God's work here, then if the stewards can just pass the offering backwards and forwards, that would be lovely. Thank you. Heavenly Father, thank you for all your goodness to us. Thank you for the air in our lungs, Lord. Thank you that you have brought us here this morning. We thank you for all your material and practical blessings too. Father, I pray that you would take all that we bring and that we'd use it and increase it for your glory and to build your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. Ivy has just remembered something very important to be thankful for. So, Ivy, part two, what are you going to tell the family?
I'm thank God for encouraging me, because now we've got a leather sofa up in the children's room.
So, I think that you need to put two gems in for that. Do you remember we had that wish list from the children a few weeks ago? And one of the things on there was a sofa, and I thought that was pretty big anyway. But what I didn't realise is that I think Ivy had already said to Debbie, my favourite sort of sofa is actually a leather sofa. And I think that Debbie probably said, well, we just like God to provide a sofa. But actually, he's given you a leather sofa, hasn't he? So God was giving her abundantly more than she was asking for. So thank you, Ivy. Thank you for that. That's lovely. David is going to be speaking to us from God's word this morning. Can I send the children out now? Thank you, children. Have a lovely, lovely time with Debbie and Dee today. Jilly, if you'd like to come up too, and I'll pray for you and David. Father God, we thank you for the gift of your word. Thank you for the freedom to read it and to share it. I pray that you bless Julie as she reads from it to us this morning, and that your spirit would rest on David as he brings what you've given to him to share with the rest of us, that we would be better fed and we would go home challenged. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Oh, sorry. Didn't mean to deafen you. Welcome to our latest series on Paul's letter to the Galatians. And this morning we're looking at Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. Paul continues his powerful defense of salvation by faith alone, as he shows that Judean teachers who are insisting new believers keep the old Jewish law by being circumcised are very wrong. That's summarized in verses 4 to 8, where he says, "You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You've fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." Now the second half I've had to concentrate on this morning. It's verses 13 to 36. Have you ever wondered, how can I be better? How can I be holy? How can I be more like Jesus? Verses 13 to 36 are wonderful verses on just that. And Julie's going to read those to us. Now, it's on page 1172 in your church Bibles, if you have those in front of you. Thank you.
It's headed, today's reading is headed Life by the Spirit. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy and drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. May God add his blessing to this word.
Amen, Julie. Thank you. So firstly, how do we use our freedom in Christ? Now, to some, freedom in Christ couldn't imply that we're free to live a life of sin. But nothing could be further from the truth. We are free, but only to serve one another humbly in love. We are free to obey the Lord Jesus by obeying his command: love your neighbor as yourself. Isn't that a wonderfully practical command? How do we love ourselves? We seek to meet all our needs, be it for food, rest, sleep, friendship, and self-esteem. How should we love our neighbours? By offering food, rest, sleep, friendship, and self-esteem to all. To do this, we learn to learn each other's names, situations, problems, worries, weaknesses, and strengths, as far as people want us to know. Then we can pray for each other intelligently, with understanding and empathy. We need to learn to use helpful words, the kind that build up and provide what is needed. Loving each other in this way is vital. The Lord Jesus said, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." We must love each other as the Lord Jesus loves us, patiently, forgiving, practically seeking each other's highest good. Secondly, verses 6 to 7 says this: how can we overcome our sinful nature, which the Bible calls the flesh? Verses 6 to 7 are clear. So I say, this is Paul saying, walk by the Spirit or live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so you're not to do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. We need to learn to walk by the Spirit, live by the Holy Spirit. And that's the only way to overcome the wrong desires of our old nature or the flesh. True story now. I remember when in my 20s, I decided that I would be holy. Grit my teeth, I would be holy. After a few weeks of this, a friend of mine came to me and said, "Are you all right? I've been praying for you." I was doing the right thing, the right motive, to be like Jesus, to be holy, but in the wrong way. The only way to be holy and be like Jesus is to walk by the Spirit. It does not say sit still by the Spirit. It doesn't say dawdle by the Spirit. It doesn't say run by the Spirit. It says walk by the Spirit. We're to move forward in our daily lives, seeking to do what the Holy Spirit tells us. How do we know that? By checking our actions against the Bible, the Word of God. Perhaps asking a close Christian, godly Christian friend. As Christians, I don't know about you, but we're in a battle. The flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so you do not do whatever you want. I need to ask God's Spirit to come alongside us and help us. If we live by the flesh in any way at all, we grieve the Spirit. Ephesians 4 reminds us, do not grieve, that means hurt, the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Another important command in Scripture about the Holy Spirit is be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5 says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. Being filled by the Spirit is a command to regularly give ourselves wholly to God. When I was baptized, the minister up in Nottingham preached on Romans 12, verse 1. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. As we ask God to fill us, we can be sure he will answer this prayer. The Lord Jesus teaches us, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Being filled with the Spirit shows as we quote and sing psalms, as we worship, sing songs and hymns to each other, as we're grateful to God, as we're thankful, as we've been this morning, very much part of what we're saying here. Give thanks. My favourite story about God having all of us as we seek to be filled with the Spirit comes from Dr. Alan Redpath a few years ago now. Alan Redpath had two daughters who loved to swarm him, was the word they used, when he came home at night. As he came in the door one evening, his little girls ran to meet him. One grabbed his leg and hugged him with all her might. Some of you might relate to that. He snatched the other daughter up in his arms. The one squeezing his leg said, "Now I've got all of Daddy." The daughter in his arms replied, not very Christianly apparently, "Yes, but Daddy has got all of me." Perhaps the question we need to continually ask is, does God have all of me? Let's be filled with the Spirit and let God have all of us. And finally, what are the acts of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit? Returning to our passage, we have Paul's summary as to what the works of our old nature or the flesh. Verse 19, if you're following. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Not a very nice list, is it, eh? I warn you, as I did before, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And when I was reading this, it struck me that it's some blatant, obviously, works of the flesh that we'd all recognize. But Paul also includes what are possibly more subtle sins, such as envy, discord, and factions. There are no such things as little sins. You and I need to cultivate not to tolerate envy, discord, and factions. We need to cultivate contentment. It's back to thankfulness again. Back to be thankful with what the Lord's given us. Respect all our fellow Christians. Opposing any tendency towards division or splitting into small groups within the church or factions, let's turn away from all the acts of the flesh. And finally, what is the fruit of the Spirit? A good test as to how filled we are with the Spirit is to ask ourselves or others, do we have the fruit of the Spirit? Now, be careful. Let's note this. Fruit isn't achieved by working, but by abiding. Abiding in Christ, living in Christ. Talking to him regularly, leaning on him, resting in him, pouring out our hearts to him, thanking him, knowing him through reading his word. He is to be our sufficiency and strength, our constant chief companion. He is our best friend. And as we abide in Christ, so he produces in us the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. I could preach a whole sermon on the fruit of the Spirit. Don't panic, I'm not going to. Just a few little headings. Do I have love? Am I loving? 1 Corinthians 13 challenges us like this. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It does not proud. Does not dishonor others. Does not self-seeking. Does not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Wow. Wow. Wouldn't I like that? God's Spirit produces it as I submit to Him. Do I have joy? Not the joy that comes from earthly things. It comes from whose we are. It's the joy whose foundation is God. Peace. Do I have peace? This peace is peace with God, peace with people, a positive peace filled with blessing and goodness. It means that tranquility which derives from the all-pervading consciousness. Our times are in the hands of God. And there's a peace that passes understanding as we bring our petitions with thanksgiving to Him. Do I have forbearance or long-suffering? Long-suffering is that quality which enables a person to bear adversity, injury, reproach, and helps them to be patient. Whoa. I could do with some of that. Am I kind? Kindness is a virtue that involves treating others with compassion, respect, and understanding. Am I kind? Do I have goodness? To be good is to be like God and involves generosity in all things. Am I faithful? Am I reliable? Am I dependable? The Bible tells us that the faithful person abounds in blessing. You know, over the years, I've met many people who are very, very gifted, a lot more gifted than me. But you know, one thing I've sought to be is to be faithful. And my brother, my sister, if you are faithful, you will abound in blessing. A lovely promise. Am I faithful? Am I gentle? Christian gentleness is a virtue that involves being kind, humble, and forgiving, responding to others with grace. God, don't I need grace? Don't we all need grace? And finally, do I have self-control? Self-control is simply that important, impressive, and nearly impossible practice of learning to maintain control of the beast of one's own sinful desire, passions. That's not there to condemn you. That's there to say, that's what God wants to produce in your life as you, filled with the Spirit, live by the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. We can't have it without God's help. Yet we can if we abide in Christ. Remember, abiding in Christ is sharing every aspect of our lives with Jesus and seeking to obey all His words as revealed in the Bible. As the Lord Jesus Himself taught us, remain in me, live in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And He goes on to say, abundant, lots of fruit. Wow. My prayer for myself and my prayer for you, our church, is that we might be abundant in the fruit of the Spirit. As we abide in Christ and produce the fruit of the Spirit, we fulfill God's holy law. Verse 23, if you're following, against such things, that's against the fruit of the Spirit, there's no law. Living by the Spirit means doing all He tells us, keeping short accounts. You do it, Lord. You say, Lord, I will do it. He tells us we refuse to become conceited. Any gift we may have is just God-given. Refusing to provoke or envy others. And to repeat there, verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying one another. Then, drawing to a close, verse 23 reminds us, if we belong to Jesus Christ, we need to crucify the old self by the power of the Spirit. That means to turn decisively from all we know to be wrong with the power of the Holy Spirit. We may also find the help of other Christians helpful. Let's remember, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Our life remains a battle. But with God's grace, hopefully a gloriously fruitful battle as we seek to walk with God. Let's pray. Holy Father, thank you for the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. Please help us each one to know more and more his presence, his power in our lives, and so produce his fruit to your glory alone. Amen.
Before we hear me, before we sing our final responsive song together, Galatians 5 verse 1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." And God's just prompted me that there may be people here who are struggling to stand in freedom, who are burdened. It could be a physical burden. It could be you're struggling with your mental health. It could be that you're worried about somebody else. But David's just been talking about living life in the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. And I think that God is also prompting me that before we even do that, there are people here who aren't in a place to allow his Spirit to really take the burdens away and then produce the fruit. So if you're in that position this morning, if you are feeling burdened this morning and are struggling to relate at all to the idea that God's going to produce this wonderful fruit in your life, then please feel free to come to the front. There'll be people here to pray for you. I would like you not to leave here burdened this morning, and God more than me wants you not to leave here with a burden. So if that's for you, then please accept that. We're going to respond to what we've heard this morning by singing "This Is My Desire." The beginning of this song says, "This is my desire to honour you. Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you." Feel free to stand and join to sing. If you want to sit, then that's perfectly fine too. Thank you. Thanks, Andrew.
Give you praise all that I adore.
Father God, I pray that that would be true for us tomorrow morning. I pray that that be true for us on Wednesday evening. I pray that that would be true for us throughout this week, Lord, that our lives would be open to you, to your Holy Spirit growing that fruit in us. Father God, thank you that it talks about us being in step with your Spirit. Thank you that you don't leave us to live this life on our own, that you don't want us to walk through this life burdened. And so, Father God, I ask that you would continue to walk with us through this week. Help us to let go of the things that we're holding tightly to, that we may let them be in your hands, Lord, that you can take us where we need to go with you this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
It's good to see you. How you doing? It's good to see you.